Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and our guest this week, Linda Hutzel-Manning. Each week at this time, we visit with an author or sometimes an editor or publisher from our region. We hope to find out a little about his or her life and ask them what prompts them to write. We have an opportunity to hear them read some work for us. And this week, we're very pleased to have Linda Hutzel-Manning back with us today. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Linda Hutzel-Manning has had a long and successful career as a children's author, poet, novelist, and playwright. Recently, she has been working on a memoir about her experiences teaching in a one-room school on the outskirts of Coburg. Last year, her two-act comedy, A Certain Singing Teacher, was produced by VOS. And this year, she published a new story for children with Commandeer Press called Finding Mufet. And this is not all. We hope to catch up with all Linda's new projects in the next half hour. So first, Linda, tell us about last year's production of your play, A Certain Singing Teacher. I know you did quite a lot of revision to the script. And what did you learn from this while the play was in production?
It was a wonderful experience. Good actors and great director. And I actually didn't have to change too much from the original script, was I hadn't looked at in years. So I was really pleased. I think what I mainly learned, we did a reading. They did a reading first, a stage where people just sat in a row and read from the script. And I was terrified at that, absolutely terrified. And I had my pencil and I was all ready to mark up everything. And I almost didn't touch anything. And what I realized at the end of that reading was that it definitely could be produced. And I was not at all confident before that, yeah. You know, that it, I mean, you just don't know. You write and you think you're writing things that are funny. I mean, it was a comedy, but you don't know whether it's really funny, whether anybody will find it funny or not. So I was absolutely delighted. And then several people in the audience got up and said they really thought this play should be produced, which was quite wonderful.
Right.
And so the VOS decided that they could produce it. It only ran for one weekend, which was unfortunate, but it was a good weekend. And then it was over. And one of the interesting things, I have one character in the play whose name is Sam Saller, who wants to be a jazz musician, is very neurotic and works at the local co-op. And I had written this as a male part, but there really was nothing in the script that signified in any way that it had to be a man playing the part. So they didn't have a man that they could find that they wanted. However, they had a young woman, a high school student actually, that they said would be perfect, and she was just incredible. She stole the show.
Oh, wonderful.
She was just, so now I've written into the script that part can be either male or female, which is good for amateur theater because mm-hmm. they're always short of men, right? Yeah. Yeah. So once it was over, I have now sent out an outline and a pitch to about 23 theater companies across Canada.
Okay, and that's to have it produced again, isn't it?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the idea. But whether or not it'll happen in the next 5 years is totally debatable because A, I'm not in theater, you know, mm-hmm. and the Belleville, one of the Belleville theaters I tried to get in touch with people I knew who would give me a contact because that's the best way to do it, right? So I did have a contact for the Belleville Theater and he read the script and he said, it's very good. It's a very good script, but he said, we really only do one act plays and then we do musicals. Mm. So that's what I'm up against. So right. Somebody at some point, if they're willing to take a risk, or if one of my pieces of writing really took off, then I would have more clout, right? I mean, it's all.
Well, you'll have to write a one-act play to be performed
yeah,
in Belleville.
I could think about that, yeah.
Now, switching gears completely, I'd like to talk about your memoir about the Front Road School, one-room schoolhouse. Now, we've heard you read passages from your memoir lately, most recently at the Spirit of the Hills Festival of the Arts. And, of course, you published an extract in the new Hill Spirits 3 anthology. But is the book done? Are you still researching? Where are you at with the book?
I'm slightly over halfway. And there are still people I want to interview. I've probably interviewed a dozen of my former students. And I keep finding amazing things that I didn't know anything about. Most recently, I'll just give you an example. Just this week, I knew that I took the children on this trip of the Thousand Islands and Old Fort Henry. But there was no way to research anything in those days. And so then I'm thinking, well, what bus did I take? How did I get in touch with Old Fort Henry? How did I do anything? So there's this wonderful site called Coburg Yesteryears. It's a Facebook site. It's a closed group, but anybody can join it, and it's really interesting. So I had joined it some time ago and hadn't logged onto it very often. So I went on there and I explained my situation. In 1964, I was taking my students on this trip, and I don't know what bus I took. I don't know how I got in touch with anybody. And then one person got back and said it was the Burley Bus Lines. And as soon as they said that, I remembered Burley Bus Lines. And then another woman sent in a message, and she said, I was the secretary at Burley Bus Lines in 1964. I would have booked your trip.
Oh, wow.
And I would have made the contacts for you with Old Fort Henry and the Lady Kingston, the boat, which I had done some research on. So like stuff like that
Wonderful.
Is just amazing.
It's the power of the internet, isn't
yeah.
it? It's amazing.
Yeah. yeah. So I'm still working on it. I'm hoping that I will have, I was sidetracked a bit in January with several other projects, but
that's unusual for you.
I'm planning on having the draft finished probably in the next 3 weeks, actually. I'm going to really push.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps we can ask you to read an excerpt.
That would be lovely. I would be delighted to read an excerpt. The excerpt that I'm going to read is called, it was the second week of school, and chapter 3, I think it is, and it's called Unwelcome Visitor. Monday morning on the second week of school, I step outside at 9 a.m. sharp to ring the bell. My charges dutifully hurry in, older children herding the younger ones ahead. Once settled, this class stands to sing God Save the Queen and repeat the Lord's Prayer. I can't play the piano, and after the first 2 days of sounding the pitch pipe and having barely anyone except me and some loud off-keyers sing, a grade 4 student offers to play. This greatly improves participation, and the off-keyers are almost drowned out. I have given my grade 1s printing instructions. The grade 3s are doing silent reading in preparation for my hearing them read out loud, and I'm beginning a phonics lesson with the grade 2s. An unexpected knocking on the outside door at first startles and then annoys me. Who could it possibly be? I'm certainly not expecting anyone. It's 9:15. I'm still in my overly stern mode and frowning at the class. I tell them to sit quietly while I answer the door. I march to the back through the short hallway between the pit toilets and with some apprehension open the front door. Surely a school inspector wouldn't be here this early in the term. A somewhat disheveled young man stands in front of me, two cameras hanging from straps around his neck. He grins and pushes his hand toward me. Michael Lambeth, he says, I'd like to come in and take pictures of you and your class. It's for an article in the Star Weekly. I glower at him. This is a one-room school, I say coldly. I am responsible for these children, and we are very busy. I can't possibly let you in, and if you want to talk to me, you'll have to wait outside until recess at 10:30. I shut the door without waiting for a reply. The Star Weekly? I don't think so. I hope he will go away, and I wonder if I should commandeer a couple of senior boys as bodyguards. Over the next hour plus, I sit with my 3 grade 2s, going over the different sounds the letter Y makes, such as in baby and cry. I manage to hear each of the six grade 3s read, some finding it so easy and some struggling with every word. I haven't mentioned because I did it previously, but the senior grades 4 to 8, just start doing seat work immediately. They do spelling and reading, and then there's like all these blackboards full of work that they have to do, so I don't even worry about them. At 10:30, I announce recess, and everyone hurries out. It's a warm September day, the gnarled old tree west of the school beginning to show yellow in its leaves. I've completely forgotten about Mr. Photographer, and I'm busy marking grade one printing books when a senior student sticks his head in the door and calls out there's someone waiting outside to talk to me. I rush into the glorious morning, more than a little rattled, but mostly annoyed. You're still here, I say curtly. What would you like to know? How many grades? How many students? How long have you been teaching? I answer as quickly as possible. I'm more interested in getting back inside to finish my marking. He scribbles down my comments and takes hold of one of his cameras. It's a human interest piece, he says, as if I'd asked, and so I'd like to get some shots of you and the children with the school in the background. He marches a short distance across the grassy yard toward the sagging baseball diamond backstop and beckons me to follow. This is my first time outside at recess, and I stand momentarily watching the children, some playing tag, a number in small groups chatting, a couple of boys tossing a baseball back and forth. If you could move a little closer to me, Mr. Lambeth calls. Two more steps should do it. I look at my watch. It's 10:35. I will be behind in my marking, and who is this guy anyway? I only have another 5 minutes, I call, and I must go back inside. Just a few more shots, he says, moving closer. I wish he wouldn't, as I know I have a blemish on my chin, and if this wretched photo is going to be published, I don't want it to show. Also, there's a breeze, and I can feel my fine hair flying every which way. Finished, he says, striding up to me. Thanks heaps. Your name? He pulls out his notepad again. Mrs. Linda Manning. Name of school? SS number 2, Hamilton Township. The article will be in the November issue, he adds, and giving a broad wave, I assume is intended for the children, races to his car and is gone. I quickly forget the incident and might or might not have mentioned it to anyone afterward. I'm too busy preparing lessons and keeping ahead of the endless marking. I remember being surprised when the picture appears in the Star Weekly and realized my suspicions of Michael Lambeth wanting to take a photo of us was ill-founded. Although I didn't much like the photo, friends and neighbors did, being impressed my picture was in a Toronto newspaper.
Well, I know listeners can't see it, but we have the picture right here. And it's actually a wonderful picture, so I think it's lovely. I hope it makes it as the cover of your book, because it's really quaint.
I had to get in. I do have it on my webpage, and I had to get Michael Lambeth died a tragic death very early, very young, and I had to get in touch with his estate to ask if I could have permission to and they gave it to me. There was no problem, so I assume there wouldn't be any problem with having it on the cover, but yeah. Anyway.
Huh. Well, thanks very much, Linda. We've been speaking with Linda Hutzel Manning, author, poet, and playwright. And we'll talk to her about some of her other projects right after this short break.